It's good to be with you guys this morning. My name is Brody Swisher. I've been blessed to be with this church and this church family the last few days for the game dinner. How many of you guys were at this game dinner, this sportsman's banquet, last two nights? How many of you were here? Several of you. All right, very good. Thus the reason for the antlers and stuff on the wall, right? I know some of the ladies, sweet ladies in the back are over there in the corner. They're like, man, they're creeping out with dead deer looking over their shoulder for Sunday service. You know, it's just a different kind of day. But I love this. This is, in my mind, this is the way God intended church to be, with dead critters surrounding us. It's just a beautiful thing. It's good stuff. Hey, let me do this real quick. Where's the youth guys that were here? I know we got a lot of the youth. How many youth workers do we have helping out the last couple days? Raise your hand high. Where are you? Very cool. All across the room. Where's the band, the live band people? Are any of you guys here? Tambourine girls back there. Are you the only one? All right, look, you tambourine girl and your whole crew right there in that row, y'all come up here. I need your help real quick. I'm not gonna do anything crazy. Y'all come on up, seriously. Come on up. I'm not going to make you say anything, do anything crazy, other than demonstrate a turkey call, okay? Hey, listen, I was really blessed by these youth kids. Now, some of these guys may be, I wasn't even here in on it, but tambourine girl, what's your name? Allie, I'm calling her Tambourine Girl because she was doing the tambourine last night. That's one of two things in my life. My wife knows. I posted this earlier and tagged my wife that one of my small life goals, not like the big important stuff, but my little small stuff life goals was to play a swing, shake a tambourine, and a cowbell with the cool kids in a, you know, live band. You know what I'm saying? And so last night, I walked up, she's doing the tambourine, and I said, can I? And she said, oh, yeah. And so I took it, and I got over there, and I got to do the tambourine last night. It was awesome. I appreciate it so much. Today, I'm going to let you do the turkey call. And I really appreciate, though. You saw the hands earlier of those that helped out. What a blessing to see young people that get it. You know what I'm saying? That know, hey, this is where I need to be. This is where I need to serve. And watching them serve, I mean, they had this place torn down from tables and chairs in just a matter of minutes. And it was just awesome to see them just working so hard. So I do appreciate them. You remember how that worked? No? Should we have one of these guys do it? Hey, if you got your, look at you, you're all scared. Somebody's going to do it. Who's going to do it? There you go. Now, this is a great opportunity. I told people in the first service, if you want to video this or shoot a picture of this, because this is making history right here. I promise you, there's not a church in this country, maybe across the world, that's going to have turkey calls on a Sunday morning in the church service. So this is your moment right here to see and be a part of history, right? Redneck church in the making on this fine Sunday. But you got the box call. You remember how that goes? Go ahead and work that box call. This is a hen, the hen sound, right? Go ahead. And that's not it. I take that back. That's not it at all. I lied. Just like that right there. Let's try it again. You might have to do it for him, maybe. There you go. So that's that hen sound. You hear the hen. She's like a lot of you young ladies. She's loud, and she talks a lot, and she just keeps on talking. Okay? That's that hen. Not you, though, right? Not Tambourine Girl. There it is right there. That's that hen. But then you got us boys, us men. What do? I'm going to see if I can do this with a cough drop in my mouth. Let's see. Here's that old male Tom Gobbler. He gobbles, and here's the cool thing. Turkey season's coming up, and that's what he does. He gobbles. The hen makes her a little squawking, and the gobbler, he's shouting. He's gobbling. And God made those gobblers where I told the guys last night, that bird is to gobble, and when he gobbles, guess what happens? That turkey, that boy, got bird, he gobbles, and guess what happens? The hens come running to him. Isn't that a sweet deal that God put in place? Wouldn't it have been nice, guys, if you just gobbled and the ladies came to you? Wouldn't that be, that'd be a kind of a nice blessing, but that's not the way it works. But where turkeys, it does. And so he gobbles, and those hens, the loudmouthed hens, come to him in nature. So, hey, I appreciate y'all coming up and doing that. Tambourine Girl, I had a big time last night. Give these guys and the youth of your church a big hand. They are awesome, and I love it. And I know that's not why they do it. I know some of y'all thinking, oh, don't be patting them on the back or giving them a big head for helping out. You know, that's not why they do it. They don't do it for your praise and your glory. They do it for God's glory. That's what's so cool about that. If you've got your Bibles this morning or an iPad or a phone or whatever you do to find God's Word, be finding it in Psalms chapter 150. Got a brief message this morning for you, and we're actually going to watch a piece of footage that we showed last night, a turkey hunt from last night. But stick with me. Some of y'all are like, I'm leaving right now. He just said, we're going to watch a turkey hunt on Sunday. But stick with me. We're going to have an excerpt from this particular hunt with Mr. Walt. Some of you guys remember Mr. Walt, okay? He was 92, 93 years of age when I took him on a turkey hunt. And I want to share that with you, not because I want to show a turkey hunt in church on Sunday, but because I want you to draw a piece out of that, okay? An element out of that. And I do have it, just to let you know, I've got the shot is blacked out today, okay? In the last couple nights, we watched Mr. Walt shoot this turkey, and the turkey's going, flopping. For those of you that can't handle that, I blacked it out today. So I'll give you an opportunity and kind of give you a fair warning. Hey, just close your eyes here, because even after the blackout, there's a little bit of turkey dancing around, flopping. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, honestly. I don't come today to offend anybody. One of the ladies, actually Miss Wagner, that I stayed at their house the last couple of days, she said this morning at breakfast, she said, I'm one of those people, I had to close my eyes. I had to cover my face when you were killing animals on the video. But she also said, her husband said, yeah, but she was closing her eyes, had her hands covered up like a little kid. But she also, when she heard the shot, she said, did he get him? And she wanted to know. So sometimes y'all act like y'all don't want to see it, but you want to know the story and how it goes down, right? Did you get him? She said. Psalm 150 is where we're going to start today. As I talk about Mr. Walt, I want to ask the question. You guys can see it in your notes. I don't know if I still got notes here or not. You see it in your notes, the brief notes there. Two verses, plenty of room to write, but there's not a lot to it today. The question I just want to ask is, are you ready to go home? You see the notes there. Now, after 4 days, 15-degree weather and a lot of snow, I'm ready to go home. Back to Tennessee, right? I've missed my family. And so I saw this, and I thought, man, I should have given a better sermon title. They might have taken that the wrong way. He's ready to go home. He's not preaching. He's ready to go home. But no, we're going to raise the question, are you ready to go home? And it's 11:38. My stomach's growling. My voice is about shot. I'm ready to go eat lunch. You guys are, yeah, I'm ready to go home. Let's go eat. Hurry up. Let's go. But I want to ask a bigger question. Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to go to be with Jesus? And that's what we're going to grab out of this video with Mr. Walt. Are you ready to go home? Because here's what I know. The Bible says if we are alive, if we're breathing, you need to be working and serving and praising the Lord. Look at it right there. Psalm 150, verse 1. If you've got it, say, uh-huh. Let's read it there. 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn. Or the turkey call, see, I take that and I just kind of paraphrase. Praise Him with, one of these ladies down here about freaked out right there. I did that. She wasn't paying attention, jump. But praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine. I got to do the tambourine last night. What an awesome thing. I was praising the Lord right there singing. She's playing the tambourine. You praise Him with the tambourine. And here, watch this, and dancing. Y'all see that? That scares some of y'all to death in this Baptist church. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. That's kind of getting out of control there. But, hey, man, you can praise the Lord with your dance, okay? I grew up in a Baptist church, too, and I remember you don't smoke, you don't drink, and you don't dance, right? You don't chew, you don't run around with the girls that do, but you don't dance, okay? And you don't dance. That's like you don't dare start shaking your hip, you know what I'm saying? You don't get your groove going, but here's the deal. You're not supposed to do that in the worldly deal, but if God said, hey, if you're praising me, you shake the tambourine and you dance, okay? Praise Him. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Let everything, catch this last one, verse 6, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Or another translation says, let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord. I want you to circle that, write that down, highlighter that if you got lipstick or whatever you need to do. Circle that one real good, okay? Because you need to know that verse, you need to live that verse. That's the simple question today I want you to take with you. That's the money right there. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's why I love blowing these calls and hearing those animals, because some of you are saying, oh, I don't want to hear them turkey calls, they're racking. I tell my wife all the time, hey, if God didn't like the sound of a turkey gobbling, He wouldn't have put that sound in His mouth, right? He likes it, I like it. And so I like to hear that. But let everything that has breath praise the Lord. One of my friends growing up back in college, she had a double lung transplant. She was in bad shape, finally found a donor, and was able to breathe and to live again. Had this double lung transplant. That was her life verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Her name was Jessica Chason. She had for about a year after that transplant, came on, and she got to where she could jog again, got in shape, running some 5K races and all the stuff. And ultimately, those lungs began to reject, the body began to reject those lungs, and she went to be with Jesus as that transplant failed on her ultimately. But I always remember her and that love in that verse. I got new lungs. I'm breathing again. I'm going to praise the Lord. And she did that with her life. We need to be doing that today. I want to ask you the question, are you ready to go home? And that means, are you ready? Are you at a place in life where you're doing what God's called you to do? You know how. I'm just waiting on Him now. Because here's the thing. Every one of us in this room, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, you've got a purpose. And God's put you on this earth for living out His purpose and the plan He's got for you. And if you got breath in your lungs, you're alive, and He's got the work for you, and you need to be doing that. So easy for us just to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I got right with God. I prayed that prayer they were talking about, and I'm a Christian. And so I'm just going to sit here now and just kind of chill. Because I'm a Christian, so I'm going to sit here and amen when the preacher says something I like, but I'm going to sit down and just kind of chill because that's good. I'm good to go. I'm just waiting on God to come back and the trumpets to sound and all that stuff. No, God didn't say just sit back and soak it up. Because what happens when you sit and you soak? You sour, right? You just sit there and you soak it up, and you're like, oh, that's good, preacher, preach it, and you take it in. But man, here's the deal. Every one of us have got a job to be doing. Every one of us got a purpose to fulfill. I want to ask you today, what is your purpose? Because right now, while we're living, we need to be praising Him with our purpose. We need to be praising Him because we're breathing. We need to be praising Him with the purpose that we're on this earth for. And I love that. I love that, and that's why I come. It's not about telling stories about these deer. It's not about telling hunting stories, and I love that. I love to hunt and the outdoors as much as anybody. But the reason I do this and the reason I hang out with these critters and these people that love chasing critters is so I can simply share the good news. This call we just used is from Primos, the company that makes this, called Primos, and their motto is the coolest thing I've ever heard. It's called Speak the Language. That's their slogan, Speak the Language. Guys, I want to encourage you this morning, find your purpose. Find what it is your passion is and use that to speak the language of other people, to make a difference in the lives of other people. You can do that. I don't care if it's video games, if it's playing in the band, if it's art, if it's sports, if it's golf, if it's hunting, if it's fishing. I don't know if shopping even counts or not. Ladies, that may be more of the devil. I don't know if shopping can be used by God. But here's the deal. Use what it is you love and make a difference. Live out your purpose. Praise God with the talents, the abilities He's given you. Prepare now. Live now. Get your life in order where you are. When He comes and He calls you, hey, I'm ready to go home. I've lived it out. I'm doing that. Okay? We've got one of the videos. Like I said, Mr. Walt. These guys are going to have it ready here in just a second. Mr. Walt. He was one of those guys. An awesome, awesome man. Godly man. He was a guy that was living out this very thing. I got to take Mr. Walt turkey hunting when he was 92 years old, I think it was the first time. 92 years old, and he had always wanted turkey hunting, but nobody had ever taken him. He wanted to do it all his life. He was in the military. He was a marksman. He's that kind of guy that could say, Brody, I can shoot a penny at a mile and a half away with my .22 rifle open sights. You know, one of those kind of guys. You know, you're like, whatever. You know, but you don't argue with him because he's 92 and he's awesome. You know what I'm saying? And so... But he was that kind of guy, but he never had the chance to kill a turkey. And he lived in Georgia. I was in Tennessee. And his niece, some of his family lived right there with us. They're like family to me. And they had this 80 acres. It was just an incredible place. And I thought, man, bring him up. They wouldn't let me turkey hunt on it, but they would let Mr. Walt. So I said, bring him up from Georgia and let's get him on a turkey. He wanted to do that all his life, never had the chance. And so we bring him up. First day, we're in the blind. Now, he's 92. He's got hearing aids in his ears. But even with that, he just can't hear. He's got to read lips. Or you write a note down for him. If you want to talk to him, you write something down and show it to him. So, and he doesn't get around good. His legs are in kind of bad shape. And so we take him out in a golf cart. We drive a golf cart out there. He's just having a big time driving the golf cart. Get him out there. We put him in a chair. Get the camp chair folded out. Put him in the chair. Put the ground blind over the top of him. He's ready to go. We got it all fixed up. These turkeys are going to come to this little field. So that morning, two different times, we call turkeys. I mean, it's the first day. Here we go. We get a turkey coming. It's gobbling, doing all the stuff. The turkey comes right up to this place. It's a honey hole. And the turkey comes up here to the pole right there, about 10 yards away, the first bird. And Mr. Walt, I said, hey, here's your turkey. This is what you came from Georgia for. Here he is right here, Tennessee Tom, standing there. Mr. Walt gets his gun out, and he lines it out on that turkey. He pulls the trigger, whoo! and he missed the bird. He missed the bird. I mean, missed it clean as a world. And so, hey, I said, hey, Mr. Walt, no big deal, okay? We got more birds coming. There's another one coming from this direction. I'm going to call. It's going to come and get ready. We're going to shoot this one when he comes up. Sure enough, we call another one up. He's right there. Same deal, 10 or 12 yards. I say, Mr. Walt, here we go. This is your chance. This is your time. Your moment of glory. Prepare for glory. And there it was. And he aims that thing, gets it lined out. He's just like, and I give him the little finger. I meant to pull the trigger. When you guys saw this right here, I meant pull the trigger. He shoots, woo! And that bird took off. I mean, that bird took off running and then flying. And I promise you, I look back over, that bird looked back over his wing and he's smiling at Mr. Walt. You know what I'm saying? He had this look on his face like, sucker! And he got out of there. Two birds, two misses. Mr. Walt was devastated, as you can imagine. Us guys don't like to miss. I don't know how you ladies are when you miss or you fail, but us guys get mad about it. You know what I'm saying? We're not real, you know, we're not like, oh, it's fine. I didn't want to kill one anyway. I'm just here to bird watch. You know, we're not like that. When we go, the name of the game is to bring meat home. You know what I'm saying? You want to go. Otherwise, you are. You're watching birds, bird watching. That's for people who don't hunt and play golf, okay? So you watch birds or golf, or, you know, they're kind of on the same level, right? I'm just kidding. I lost all the golfers in the room right now. No, golfers are real men, all right? But he got mad about it. He was upset, and he's like, hey, listen, I'm not going to shave my face. He got superstitious. He said, I'm not going to shave my face till next spring when I come back and kill a turkey. It was over that day. We were done. The hunt was over. No more. So next year, he comes back for revenge, redemption, the next season, the next spring, and he has not shaved his face since last year. He's got this beard, and now looks like Uncle Jesse from the Dukes of Hazzard. Okay? Like any Dukes of Hazzard fans in here? I mean, he's got this beard. Looks like old Blue. Okay? I mean, he's this old, and it was just awesome. He looked good. There was a guy in the first service came up and said, I kind of look like Mr. Walt, don't I? And he had a great beard, looked just like Mr. Walt. But he comes back, and he's not shaved his face since. That's kind of where this video picks up. Okay, we're going to take him out there. You're going to see where we took him the first year in the cart. I miss out getting on video the first two misses, okay? So we're going to kind of show you getting in there the first year. We go on to miss two different times, and it picks up with the second season. So go ahead, guys, if you will. Give me a little volume there, and let's roll. Took him out there in the golf cart. Bird gobbles right when we pull up right here. Bird just gobbled right there. Now, he can't hear worth a flip, but he grunts a lot. Listen to him.
Gobbling right down there. I just heard one. Mr. Walt, wasn't it? From Georgia. He's one of our big supporters.
Here he is, first year.
Thank the Lord for him and all he does for the ministry, but Mr. Walt is 92 years old. And he hadn't shot a shotgun since like 1940 something the other day. That's a good example that you're never too old to get out there and chase some birds. 92 years old. He can't hear a lick. So we're writing with this notepad. We got this notepad over
there.
There's
our notepad. We'd write notes back and forth because he can't hear.
We're writing notes to each other with a notepad.
Here he is all bundled up. It's probably 75, 80 degrees. He bundled up because it might be a little chilly.
I see him right out there.
We had notepad the first year. We'd write notes back and forth. Hey, Walt, get ready. Hey, Walt, be quiet. And he'd, you know, write back and forth. The second year we wised up, we made flashcards. Said, Walt, hush. Walt, watch out. Walt, wake up. Walt, shoot. You know, have flashcards. Make it nice and easy. Just pop up a flashcard instead of having to mess with all the other stuff writing back and forth. Here we are the next year. Like I said, he missed two of those that first time in the blind. We are fast-forwarding next year. Here's our strut, okay? This turkey strut. He's blowed up strutting. And I'm trying to get it in Papa's head up. You shoot a turkey in the head. That's how you shoot him with the shotgun in the head. And I get so caught up in the excitement, I kind of forget to run the camera for a second here, too.
Shoot him, Walt. Shoot.
Shoot?
Yeah. Hold on, wait.
He finally heard me, but then I called him off because I didn't realize, I looked down and realized I don't even have this camera, the turkey on camera. We're going to get it lined out here. Now, here's the deal. I'm telling him to shoot right there, but I'm glad he didn't. Because if he'd have shot right there, he'd have killed like six of those birds. You know what I'm saying? You only shoot one. So we called these birds with the calls. Using the calls. We called at them, and they came up. The turkeys came, but here's the deal. They came to the sound, but they don't see a decoy. They didn't have a decoy set up, so they come, they look, and they leave. He's just going to follow those hens like you boys do. You follow those hens around, and they're just leaving, so he's leaving, okay? He gobbles at us as we call back. He'll call back to us, but they're just leaving, following
shoot
those hens out of here and those jakes.
Shoot him, Walt. Shoot him.
I mentioned to you, he can't hear, right?
Shoot him, Walt. Shoot.
Now, I'm begging him to shoot. He's going to start arguing with me here in a minute and tell me they're too far. You know what I'm saying?
Too far. Yeah, wait. He'll come back out. All right, get ready. Get ready.
If you don't want to see this, you can close your eyes right here. Just about right here. You close your eyes. I'll tell you when you can open them.
Got him, buddy. Praise the Lord.
All right, open your eyes. Here's Mr. Walt with his beard. Here's our flash card right here. Our Walt shoot flash
card.
Card.
Walt
there
shoot.
We go.
You going to get out now?
Yeah, let's get out and go check it out.
Ready to go home. Look like an eagle.
All right. All right, hold up on that picture right there. It'd be good. You can see Mr. Walt there. 2010, went to be with Jesus. 2010 of February, this time of year, 2010. And what an awesome dude he is and was. But you heard him there. He held that bird up and said, look like an eagle. I told the first service, I'm like, my gosh, man, how many bald eagles that guy killed? You know what I'm saying? It kind of freaked you out a little bit. Look like an eagle. He's like, well, this looked like the last one I shot. Looked like a bald eagle. But you may have missed what he said. The point of that whole piece is he said there at the end, he said, ready to go home. He was laughing. He was cutting up. He said, I'm ready to go home. And you may think he meant back to the house and eat a sausage biscuit and some eggs. But no, he meant, I'm ready to go home. I have killed this turkey. I've lived out what I feel like God's called me to do. I'm ready to go home. And Mr. Walt did that. And it wasn't long. He did. He went to be with Jesus. He fulfilled the purpose. He carried that picture right there around. He was so excited about that. He took it to everywhere he went. He had it in his Bible for the longest time before he went to hospice care in the last days. But he had it in his Bible. You know how we do men. We have our picture, you know, our dead animal. And it's right there in our Bible. And we carry it around. On Sunday morning, we're over there in the front of the service or in the lobby out here. And we got, hey, man, look at there, right there. You see it, and you pass it around. You're high-fiving and slapping each other on the back. The preacher gets excited because he thinks you're sharing scripture, right? He thinks like revival's breaking out in the house of the Lord. You know, he's getting all excited and he's telling people, hey, look at these guys, man, God's on fire here. And I'm like, man, I got news for you, man. They're showing dead animal pictures. They're looking at dead bucks and ducks and big old fish is what's going on there. Don't want to bust your bubble. But that was Mr. Walt. He carried that picture right there in his Bible all the time until the day he died. He loved that, but he loved more than anything, loved Jesus. He'd drive you crazy telling you about Jesus, but he knew that his purpose on this earth was to tell people about Jesus, live it out every day of his life, and he did that. His purpose, his moment was to tell people about Jesus. And then when he finally killed that turkey, he said, I've told people about Jesus, and I've killed turkey, and I'm ready to go home. That's pretty good stuff, telling people about Jesus and killing turkey. That's kind of what I like to do. I like to tell people about killing animals, how to kill deer, how to kill turkeys, telling swap the stories, telling people about Jesus, and I'm good. When God decided to take me home, I'm done, and I'm going to go. You see that other verse there? It talks about David. This verse is just kind of a side note almost. It's not even the whole point there, but it says in Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he says he fell asleep. I like another translation. It said when David served God's purpose in his life, he died, it says. It's real simple. It says when David served God's purpose in his life, in his generation, in his time, it said he died. He did what God called him to do right then, right in that moment, in his lifetime, and then God took him home, and that's what God's going to do for us. If you're here and you're breathing, what's that verse say? If you're breathing, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. In this moment, in this time, while you're here, you've got a purpose. God's saying, you fulfill that purpose. And that's what I encourage each of us to do today. It's so easy to sit back and let other people fulfill the calling in their life and watch them and pat them on the back and say, well done, youth group, you guys did great. But what about us? What about our purpose? Are you living out your purpose? We like to say, hey, preacher, you're doing good. Preacher, you keep preaching. Worship team, keep worshiping and doing all that stuff. But what about you? What about me? What are we going to do with this life that God's given us? In the time that he gives you, what will you do? You got so many days. Between that day, the date that you were born, and the date that you die, there's what? There's that little dash that you're going to see there on that tombstone, right? The little dash. I want to ask you, what are you doing with your dash? kind of convicting, right? When we think about what am I going to do with that little space between the day I was born and the day I die? What am I going to do and how am I going to live out that dash? I want you all to think about that this morning. That's really all I've got. I want you to think about the point, what am I going to do? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And to live it out. Prepare for that moment when we're going to be ready to go home. God's got you still breathing. That means he still wants to use you to do and to work and to serve and to praise him. We praise him. It says all those things we read, praise him with the music, praise him with your life, praise him with everything you got. Praise him. Live it out. While there's breath in your lungs, praise the Lord, it says. What is your purpose? Why are you here? What are you going to do with the time that God gave you? I love to share Mr. Walt's story. But I also love to share my little sister's story. My little sister, Jessica, was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 29. I didn't think you can get breast cancer as a young lady. I thought that was something for later in life. I didn't know. I didn't have any experience with that. But my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 29. She was in as good a shape you can get. She was a fitness trainer. She worked out all the time. She ran races and all that stuff. Just kind of the epitome of health. Everything I'm not, you know what I'm saying? And she was that. And the last person you'd ever think that would get cancer, but Jesse was diagnosed with breast cancer, 29 years of age. For 5 years, Jessica battled breast cancer. Sometimes you'd think she's winning and she's got this, and you, like a lot of people, oh, she's going to kick cancer's tail and I'm going to beat cancer and all that stuff. And here's the thing, man, cancer don't care who you are. Cancer don't care how strong you are. And it's your time, it's your time. And I don't know how stuff works like that. I don't know if that's something, that Satan's in his power, because Satan's powerful, if God allows it. I don't know how all that works. You know what I'm saying? Some people say, why did God do this to her? Why did God allow this? I don't know how that works, guys. I don't know why good things happen, bad things happen to good people. I don't understand all that, but I know, here's the thing, God is so faithful to use those circumstances. He's so faithful to use the nasty stuff and the stuff that Satan says, watch this, I'm going to mess this person's life up. God said, you know what, cancer, I'm going to use it. You want to throw some cancer on somebody? I'm going to use that. God will do that. He did that in my sister's life. 5 years, he used her big time. And she passed away in April, just 2.5 years ago. It'll be 3 years here this April, so coming up. But I watched what God did in her life, and I got this little video I want to share. It's her story. She got to share before she died. And it's just kind of her sharing the fact that she found the purpose. Because she would party. You know, she would do her thing. She and her husband, both good people, claimed to be Christian people. Didn't mind going to church on Sunday morning if they weren't too, you know, feeling too hungover or had too many drinks the night before and hanging out a little too late or whatever. They might go to church on Sunday morning. They knew that was where they should be if they felt up to it. But God was not a priority in their life. He was not the number one, and certainly not the one that they were praising in everything they did. But when God got that cancer and used that cancer in her life, man, all of a sudden things changed. And I saw God do amazing, amazing things. You guys watch this little video, my sister Jessie, and we'll wrap it up with this.
I kept telling myself this is fine, but in the back of my mind, I could tell this was not looking good. And I went from doing a mammogram, they did a ultrasound, and then they did a biopsy all in one day. And the doctor said, I'm 99% sure this is breast cancer. I was just in such shock, and it was just devastating. My world came crashing down. I had just ran the St. Jude Half Marathon at my fastest time ever. I had won a bench press competition. My husband and I were just trying to build up our business. We're both personal trainers. We were just focusing on that and getting ready to start a family. And all of a sudden, that all came to a screeching halt. After I was diagnosed, I had chemo. And then I had a single mastectomy and had radiation. You know, I realized that I couldn't wait till I was older, 40s and 50s, to live my life for God. And I had just kind of been living for myself, trying to build up my own things. I knew that I was a Christian. I knew that I would go to heaven when I died. And it wasn't that I was scared to die. It was, what are they going to think of me when I die? She's a good trainer. She can run fast. She's a nice person, hard worker, but those things didn't matter to me at all anymore. So we had a couple more treatments to go, and then one day I had a very massive seizure while I was still in bed, and it was another one of those times where God was just protecting me. My husband was supposed to be at work, and the client canceled. 3 days later, I had a major brain surgery. So I have played this roller coaster back and forth. It's like the tumor top from the body, usually my chest wall, back to the brain. I was having many sleepless nights, and I just kind of found a routine that I was waking up about 3 a.m. And those are some of the most precious, intimate times I've had with Jesus. And you know, when my husband was asleep and my parents, my family, friends were all asleep, I knew that I could connect with him. And it was through that time that I really felt like I grew closer to him. I truly believe that each day has a purpose. We take healing baskets to the chemo clinics, and we will share little devotional books and snacks with people. And it's just given me so many opportunities to share Christ and share Jesus' love and to inspire people and tell people, you know, hang in there. You know, it may be a job. It may be a teenager that's not acting right. It may be, you know, an illness. But if you can just cling to God during that time and just not give up, His plan is bigger and His ways are higher. His course of plan and His course of action is going to be so much bigger and better and more wonderful than we could ever imagine, than our plans and our desires. I'm not thankful for cancer. I'm thankful for the journey that I've come through, the new friends that I've made, the things that I've learned, and most importantly, my new relationship with God and how much closer I am to Him. Now, whether God will restore me here on earth or restore me one day in heaven, I just cling to that. I know that He's going to restore me. And when I do die, and we're all going to die one day, but when that day comes, that I will be able to stand before God and that He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that, to me, is what life is all about. I'm Jessica Hambrick, and that is my Red Chair story.
All right. Jesse got to share that story down at Bellevue Baptist Church, our home church back that I grew up in. And the Red Chair story is not the place you want to be sitting down talking. They give those people that opportunity to share a story. Most situations, it's somebody that's soon to be meeting Jesus. And she found herself in that red chair. And I love her story, though. I love what she said there, because as brutal as it is to watch, it's such an awesome reminder. She's there. Every day's got a purpose. How many times do we waste our days? You know what I'm saying? I've been watching a buddy of mine. He uses the hashtag 7,000 days. Hashtag 7,000 days, I think it is. And I finally asked him last week, I said, "Dude, what is the 7,000 days? And I may be butchering it, but he said it's 7,000 days you have from the time your child is, from the crib to high school graduation, I believe it was. 7,000 days. And it was just a reminder for him to be intentional in everything he did. You got 7,000 days, and he's got a 14-year-old boy now. He's saying, "Man, I'm down to my last 1,000 days before I ship this kid off to college." And just a reminder to be intentional every day. Guys, I want to ask you, be doing whatever it is you need to do, whether it's a hashtag or it's a circle, a verse, or it's something you put on your refrigerator, so every day you're reminded it. Make every day count. Every day's got a purpose for you. Now, listen, it's easy to say, "Well, my husband needs to do this," or "She needs to do that." No, worry about your purpose. What is your purpose to be on this earth? I look at that and I think, man, God, it took her out way too soon. Lord, she went and left this earth way too soon. We typically say that, right, when we see somebody die in their 30s, their 20s. But God knew exactly what He was doing. See, Mr. Walt got to live to be 94, 95, and he fulfilled God's purpose in his life and his time, and God took him home. He lived a long life. Jessie, no doubt in my mind, though, she didn't go too soon. She fulfilled God's purpose in her 34 years. You know what I'm saying? In the 34 years God gave her, she did it right. She fulfilled God's purpose. And then He said, "Hey, listen, Jesse, you have done amazing things. This cancer in your life, you reached people that were unreachable." She had people that worked with her and that became friends with her that were atheists that said, "I don't even believe in a God." And right before she died, she had an atheist dude call up and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." You know what I'm saying? Somebody said, I don't believe in God, but what I've seen in Jesse's life, it's changed me. And so God used that in such a miraculous way. And I know God used her life as young as it was and said, hey, you know what? You have fulfilled the purpose that I put you on this globe for. Come on home. And he took her home. Guys, he will do that for you. But if as long as we have life, as long as we're breathing breath in our lungs, we need to be praising him with our life. We need to be praising him with the purpose that we're put on this earth for. I want to encourage you to find that today. I want to encourage you to find out before you go to sleep tonight, as you lay down on that pillow, man, why am I here? What am I doing? Am I wasting time? Am I fulfilling the purpose God put me on this earth for? These youth group guys, these dudes doing the skit, man, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. They're willing to say, you know what? It ain't about me. It's about God. I'm going to live it out. I'm going to make it a real deal and do whatever he calls me to do. And it may mean speaking in front of somebody. I hate that, right? My senior year of high school, I told God, I got up in front of the whole school for my last hoorah and my senior moment to share with the group and say, hey, here's my last deal. You know, I get to say whatever I want to and address them. And I got up there and they said I talked for forever. But I remember scared to death and I told God, Lord, you can do whatever you want with my life, but I will not talk in front of people ever again. You know what I'm saying? And let me just tell you something. When you tell God what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, he's got a really nice way, a unique way of kicking your tail, you know what I'm saying? And he will punch you into what he wants you to do. But find out what it is today. Start asking today, this moment, tonight, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? You guys bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm through, but I want to pray for you. We've had a great, great few days. I've been blessed to be here. Honored to be a part of all that's been taking place the last few days, and God's done some amazing things. There's people that have given their life to Jesus just because they came to a wild game dinner, a sportsman's banquet, came with a bunch of country boys and country girls, rednecks, all the mix, and heard the story of Jesus, gave their life to him. And I thank God for that. Thank God for this church that's willing to allow that to take place. Don't stop. But I want you to just keep on keeping on. Find your purpose. God, what is it in our lives that we need to be looking for? I pray for each of my new friends here. Lord, I pray you help us to discover just that. What is the purpose? God, we're so busy wasting time, wasting days, and you've only given us so many. We only have so much time on this earth, and we don't look at it with fear and dread of what's coming, but God, we look forward to the day, those that know you, we stand before you and you say those words, well done. I want to hear those words. I want these people to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant, God. But we know that to hear those words, we need to live it out now, not just be sitting on our tail, wasting time, but to be living it out for you, living our life with a purpose, praising you with a purpose. God, I pray for these here today that need just realign, figure out where it is we need to be. God, I pray for those that are here and they've never given their life to you. They can't really live out the purpose because they don't even know you yet. God, help them to give their life to you and realize that's our purpose, is to give our hearts and life to you, to bring you glory and to praise you. Help them to realize they need you. Help them to find somebody that will tell them that story, to share the faith, the good news of Jesus with them. God, again, I thank you for the moment you've given us, the times over the last couple of days, just to live out our story and share the love of Jesus. It's been good. We thank you, God, for all you do. Amen. Amen. Guys, it has been a blessing. It's been an honor. You got that picture? Good. He's got. Before I step down, I do need to. I think the pastor's wife has left. She left, right? She slipped out. She's here for the first service. Did her deal. Where I told her, you're gonna worship two times and then leave. I guess you feel like you get to leave. But she has been gracious enough to let me borrow her vehicle the last couple of days. Okay, I have had the chance to borrow her vehicle and I was going to tell her, you know, and this I forgot to do it in the first service, but I forgot to do so, and so I missed her. But I wanted to tell her thank you for that. Here's her vehicle right here. I went to Walmart yesterday and was just running around, and I forgot I was in her car, and I was looking for my truck that's back in Tennessee. You know how that is? I just turned 40 the other day, and it's not supposed to be happening that fast. You do stuff like that. But I walked around the parking lot for probably 10 minutes, though, looking for my Tahoe back home. And I finally realized, oh, man, I'm in somebody else's car. But then I forgot what color it was. I forgot what it looked like, what kind it was. And so I start looking for that. I'm like, man, I don't even remember where I parked. So then I realized, hey, I got this remote, and it's got this panic button. So I hit it, and it scared me to death. I was standing right next to it. And I was, oh. And that's great to have a panic button, but I thought, you know what? There's a better way to brand the pastor's wife's van. And so I get the sticker. We gave away these stickers last couple nights. Bowhunting.com. I work for those guys. And so I put a bowhunting.com sticker on the back of her van for her, just as a token of my appreciation for her allowing me to do this. That's more than the preacher. Here's what he did to me. I come in the other night. I know it's y'all ready to go eat lunch, but I come in the other night, and he's like, I said, man, is this snow going to knock everybody out? It's calling for snow, storm on Friday, and is this going to put it? He goes, no, man, the men have trucks around here. The men will jump in their truck and drive to the event. I said, oh, that's cool. Well, what do I get to drive? And he said, you're going to drive my wife's minivan. I'm driving my truck, but you get the minivan. And so I've grown to love these guys the last couple days, and I appreciate you a bunch. Thank you, guys. God bless y'all.
A man doesn't give up his truck. I mean, let's just tell the truth. And that van just went up by $500, I'm pretty sure, with that sticker on it around here. You know, in that very chapter that Brody was talking to us about David and how at the end of his life was done because his purpose was done, it clearly says what our purpose is. It says, I have made you a light that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. For some of you, the end of the earth is a tree stand that you hunt near or with others. For some of you, it's in a boat. For some of you, it's wherever God takes you, at work, with family, places where ends of the earth where no one else will go. I think Brody's message from the Lord's been very clear to encourage us and to point us. And I just thank you for being here and being an encouragement. I know for some of you, it's a little less comfortable to be down here. I appreciate you enduring that and working together. We would enjoy having a few of you stay and help us work. We got probably about an hour and a half of stuff to pick up. And if you endure for a little bit helping us, there'll be some food left over in the back. And I know that doesn't fit everyone's schedule, but if a few would stay and help, that would just be terrific today. Thank you for being here. Enjoy one another and go light up our community.